This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Inshallah, we'll continue the tafsir of Surah Ar-Rum. And we have been making or trying to make the tafsir of the six ayat in which Allah Jalla wa'ala mentioned some of his signs. And as you know, my dear brothers and sisters, that we said that Surah Ar-Rum, alhamdulillah, Surah Ar-Rum is talking about a theme that can be expressed in different ways. Either you can see, you can talk about the power of Allah Jalla wa'ala, alhamdulillah, and in particular in terms of creation. And he challenged everyone to create anything. And that's why the khalq is mentioned a lot throughout this surah, as we have seen in those six verses that talk about وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. The first of them is when Allah Jalla wa'ala says وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ. We can also say that this surah, which is a Makki surah, is talking about the balance of power and who has the real power. And it confirms that Allah Jalla wa'ala is the one, the only one, who has the real power. And in order to prove that, Allah Jalla wa'ala has said to the believers of Mecca, look at the Romans, they were, despite their power and strength and their number, despite all of this, Alif Lam Mim, غلبت الروم, they were defeated. But because this life is not about a person who will be the winner all the time, he will be victorious all the time. No, because all of the creation will go through different stages. Allah Jalla wa'ala said, and after they were defeated, they will defeat. And Allah Jalla wa'ala said, لِلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمِنْ بَعْدُ. The matter belongs to Allah Jalla wa'ala. Before they were defeated and after they defeated, he is the one who has the power, Jalla wa'ala. My dear brothers, as we are talking about this, we have to understand one of the main aims of the Qur'an. One of the main aims of the Qur'an, or in fact, if you want to say, the main aim of the Qur'an is what? Is to call people to worship Allah Jalla wa'ala, to submit to Allah Jalla wa'ala, to glorify Allah Jalla wa'ala, to fear Allah Jalla wa'ala, to love Allah Jalla wa'ala, to consider Allah Jalla wa'ala as the highest. This is the main aim of the Qur'an. And in order to confirm that aim, in order to prove that aim, or to explore on that aim, Allah Jalla wa'ala says, and those who obey Allah Jalla wa'ala, innal abrara lafi na'im, they will go to Jannah. And those who disobey Allah Jalla wa'ala, wa innal fujjara lafi jahim. So this is the secondary aim of the Quran, which is to show the consequences of what? Of those who obey Allah Jalla, the consequences of worshipping Allah Jalla wa'ala, and the consequences of disobeying Allah Jalla wa'ala, the ramification of any act of a human beings do in their life. Then Allah Jalla wa'ala explained in the Quran how to worship Him. So that's why we find in the Quran verses that talk about His Tawheed in general, believe in the Asma and Sifat in general, obeying His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and then performing the five daily prayers, giving the zakah, fasting Ramadan, and then doing the Hajj. How to worship Allah Jalla wa'ala? In order to what? In order to become obedient to Him. And also, the Quran speaks about the other acts of worship that complement the five pillars of Islam. Okay? This is, again, a secondary aim of the Quran to serve the main aim of the Quran, which is what? Which is to worship Allah Jalla wa'ala. And then Allah Jalla wa'ala spoke about the attitude towards Him, the akhlaq towards Allah Jalla wa'ala. Okay? And Allah Jalla wa'ala says that you as a human beings, you are not going to live by yourselves. You are going to live with other human beings. So that's why I am also sending to you guidelines on how to interact with each other, how to live with each other. So we find in the Quran rulings and guidelines of how people can interact with each other, Muslims with Muslims, Muslims with kuffar, etc. And not only that, how the Muslim will interact with everything around him. This is the summary of the aims of the Quran. Is it clear? Yeah. All of this is what? All of this is meant to glorify Allah, the Creator, the Rabb, the Ilah, the Malik of everything. That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, we know that the ultimate aim of our existence is to worship Him because of Him, not because worshiping Allah Jalla wa'ala makes us better human beings for the dunya purpose. Yeah? Makes us enjoy the life more. No. The main aim is to worship Allah because of His right over us. Unfortunately, my dear brothers and sisters, this aim is missing from the discourse, from the explanation of the explanation given by many speakers about the Quran. And they highlight, when they speak about the Quran, they highlight how the Quran has a positive impact on the life of people, as if they are making Quran a book of humanity guidelines, yeah, or a book of humanitarian guidelines. And we say that it is true that the book of Allah is providing guidelines on how human beings interact with each other and is aiming to improve the welfare of human beings in general, but that is not the main aim of the Quran. Yeah? This is a very, very secondary aim. To make that as the aim of the Quran, I think the person, or I strongly believe that the person is giving injustice to the Quran. And to be honest with you, yeah, to be honest with you, the person might be sinful. Why? Because he is diverting the attention from the main purpose of the Quran to what? To a very, very secondary purpose of the Quran. Yeah? And this is what? Although he did not, such a person did not make ta'wil of certain verses, but he is making ta'wil, yes, diversion of the main purpose of the Quran. And when the person makes ta'wil of certain verses, he is what? He is committing haram. Yani he is reinterpreting certain verses of the Quran, yeah, giving different meaning of those verses, especially things related to Allah Jalla wa'ala and His Majesty. The person is what? Is sinful. And when the person is changing the main aim of the Quran and giving the impression that the main aim of the Quran is something else other than glorifying Allah, submitting to Allah, worshipping Allah, loving Allah, fearing Allah, and the other consequences of this, and the other acts that build this glorification of Allah Jalla wa Ala. When the person is not putting the focus on this, he is what? He is making ta'wil, reinterpretation of the entire Quran. And he might be sinful. Is it clear? So we cannot say that if a person, any person is giving tafsir of the Quran, he is doing a good job. If the person is giving the wrong tafsir of the Quran, yeah, from a holistic perspective, then the person is wrong. Even, in fact, he is committing a bigger sin than the one who is making what? Ta'wil or reinterpretation of individual verses. Because the person who is making individual verses of the, making mistakes or diverting or changing the meaning of individual verses of the Quran, he is just making some minor mistakes compared to the one who is changing the main aims, the main aims of the Quran. Is it clear? That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, we, once we read the Quran, we need to read it, okay, with that in mind. What is the message that the Quran is trying to put forward? Yeah? What is the message? Now, brothers, you know, when we do contemplation on the Quran, if we want to pick something, this is the one of the miracles of the Quran. If we want to pick something from the Quran, we will find it. Yeah? That's why we need always to refer to the early scholars in entirety. We need to refer to the early scholars and understand the main aims of the Quran, yes, in their entirety. Otherwise, we will come up with certain aims ourselves, and then we will try to what? To twist the verses of the Quran to justify those aims or to support those aims, or we will choose and pick and choose from the verses of the Quran those verses and those meanings that support those aims. Is it clear? Is that clear? Yeah? طيب. And this is yani a big mistake. A big mistake. We need to approach the Quran, yeah, according to the tools that were provided to us by the great scholars, by the early scholars, the Mufassirin, in order to understand, to try to understand the main aims of the Quran. And the central aim of the Quran is what? Submission and surrendering. To who? To Allah. Speaking about Allah, glorifying Allah, yeah, submitting to Allah, worshipping Allah. This is the main aim of the Quran. If we, as I said, if we forget that aim, if we neglect that aim, what will happen? Once we read the Quran and that aim is not in our minds, we will not see it in the Quran. Yeah? And normally, human beings, how do they, yani, how do human beings interact with, yani, the environment around them or with anything around them? If they put attention to something, then they will see it. If they don't put attention to anything, although they see it in front of them, they won't be able to see it. Agree or not? Yeah, I always give the very simple example. If you are, for example, if you just finished a course in electrician course, yeah, to be an electrician, and you entered the masjid, what will be the first thing you will see? Lights, wiring. Is that true or not? Yeah, the power, is this the best distribution of power? This is dangerous, this is not dangerous. Is that true or not? Agree? You might, if you come out and I ask you, what was, by the way, what was the paint color? What was the color? Which one? No, the one on the other side. To be honest with you, I didn't put attention. Seriously, the whole wall. I forgot. I did not put attention. Okay, please, next time, put attention to that. So next time the person who is electrician, he will look at the what? Electricity, and he will look at what? The paint. Yeah? Okay. Then, if he comes out and I say, by the way, brother, do they have chairs for those elders? Oh, no. I never thought of it. Brother, why didn't you look at it? Huh? Your observation was weak. Okay, next time I'll look at it. Next time he will have three things to look at. Yeah, and so on. By the way, my dear brothers, this is a very, very strong tool in what? In contemplation. When you contemplate on the Quran, the more you know in general about Islam, about the philosophy of life, about how Islam view the outlook of Islam and how Islam view the world and the life, and yeah, the more you know and the more you put attention to know about these things, the more you will see them in the Quran. Are we following? Yes? And this is, subhanAllah, this is the nature of human beings. That's why, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, Allah Jalla wa'ala says, لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. The more pure or the more purified heart you have, the more you will be able to what? To engage with the Quran, and the more you can extract from the Quran. Yeah? And that's why, subhanAllah, the miracles of the Quran will never come to an end. The miracles of the Quran, they will never come to an end. And that's why the Quran is wallahi rahmah for us. And if the person has nothing in his life but the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala, his life will be very busy. Yeah? If they put a person in prison and he has the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala, and he engaged himself with the Quran truly, yeah, he will never think to come out. Because of what? Because of the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala. And this is the mercy and the power of the Quran, subhanAllah. My main point, brothers, by the way, when you speak about Quran and then you just have divergent in the discussion, طيب, this is, some scholars said, no, just remain focused. And some other scholars said, no, just to swim with it. Swim, let it go. Why? Because they said, subhanAllah, the nature of the Quran is this. Yeah? Moving from one topic to another topic to another topic. Yeah? So just enjoy it. If it depends on the main purpose of the tafsir. But if you are contemplating, just enjoy it. And that's why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said something very strange. He said, وَكَانَ عَادَةُ كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ السَّلَفِ. It was the habit of many of the early scholars to spend the whole night repeating one ayah. You had the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent the whole night repeating, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Ibn Umar, read وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Yeah, when people stand before Allah Jalla wa'ala. And he continued to just repeat this. And Umar ibn al-Khattab, he read few verses from Surah At-Tur, and he became ill. And so on. So on. Imam Abu Hanifa, they said, the caretaker of the masjid, he said, I left him after Isha. Yes. And I heard him reading Surah Al-Zalzala. إِذَا زِلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. In the morning I came and the masjid was as it was as I left it. And Abu Hanifa was on the same sitting. And he was repeating the same verse, the same surah from Isha. So I came to him and I said, Imam, what's wrong? He said, why? What happened? He said, we want to pray Fajr. Are you serious? He said, yeah. What happened to you? He said, okay, just keep quiet. Keep quiet. Yeah? He repeated this for the whole night. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, if a person repeats one verse and he finds that his heart is moving with that verse and he kept repeating it, that's fine. That's fine. Because what? He is treating his heart with the Qur'an. And this is the main aim of the Qur'an, is to treat the heart. Yeah? Rather than just reading it without understanding. So, this surah, Surah Ar-Rum, although the name of the surah is Ar-Rum, Ar-Rum refers to what? Yeah, according to this theory, that the name of the surah reflects the purpose of the surah. The name of the surah reflects the purpose of the surah. This is a theory I believe strongly in it. Yeah? Ar-Rum, once you mention the word Ar-Rum, what do you remember? Okay, what comes to your mind? As we said, it comes to your mind number, power, strength, yeah, overwhelming, ghalaba, yeah, which is true. Allah Jalla wa Ala wants to say, despite their strength, I am the one who gave them power. And I am the one who takes power from them. I am the one who is all might. And no one has might except me. That's why Allah Jalla wa'ala spoke about what? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ 6 times. We stopped last time at the previous verse. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْعَالِمِينَ. And then in this time, after that, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَبِتِغَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَسْمَعُونَ. And among his signs is your sleep by night and by day, and your seeking of his bounty. Verily, in that are indeed signs for a people who listens. This is the basic meaning of this verse. There is another possible meaning of this verse, that, and among his signs, Allah Jalla wa'ala says what? Manamukum billayli wan nahar. Among his signs that you sleep in the night time, and you sleep what? In the daytime as well. So both are what? Signs from both sleeping. Sleeping during both is what? Is among the signs of Allah Jalla wa Ala. And the third sign is what? وَبِتِغَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And you go seek the provision of Allah Jalla wa Ala, the bounties of Allah Jalla wa Ala, the rizq, the provision that Allah Jalla wa Ala gives it to you. وَبِتِغَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. When do you seek that provision? Is not clear. At the night or at the day, it is not clear, maybe at both. So this is a third sign. وَابْتِغَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ. This is one possible meaning. The other possible meaning is, وَمِنْ آيَاتِ, and among his signs, that you sleep at night. But after that, Allah Jalla wa'ala said, وَالنَّهَار. مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَار. So he added, he made عطف of النهار على الليل. But the scholars said there is تقديم and تأخير. تقديم means putting something forward and bringing something okay, back. So they said this means, وَمِنْ آيَاتِ, and among the signs of Allah Jalla wa'ala, that you sleep at the night time. And you seek provision when? at the daytime. Yeah, so this is the a change of order. وَابْتِغَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بِالنَّهَارِ. You seek provision when? At the daytime. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَسْمَعُونَ. Indeed, there are signs for those who, what? Listens. Now, as I told you, what is the hikmah, the wisdom behind choosing here? إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَسْمَعُونَ. Previously, Allah Jalla Ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ. Indeed, there are ayat for the different types of people or for people of knowledge. Before, Allah Jalla Ala said, indeed, there are signs for people who what? Who think, يتذكرون, Allahu A'lam. Al-Razi and others try to match between the ending of the ayat and the actual meaning of the ayat. Yeah? And yani there are aqwal of this, but a solid statement or a solid conclusion is not very clear for me, to be honest with you. Okay, there are possibilities, but we need some really solid conclusion in order to say it. Otherwise, there are some possibilities. Anyway, this is the fourth ayah among the signs of Allah Jalla Ala. The fifth ayah after that, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. And among his signs is that he shows you the lighting for fear and for hope. يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ. Al-Barq, he shows us al-Barq, thunder. Yeah? The lighting in the heavens. This lighting, Allah Jalla Ala said, it can be for fear, or it can be what? For hope. Lightening for can be for fear, or can be for hope. Now, as you know, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be worried when he sees that the sky color changed. Yeah, and he hears the thunderstorm or the lightning. Yes, he used to be worried. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, Ya Rasulallah, why? He said, haven't you read what Allah Jalla wa'ala says in the Quran? فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا قُلْ هُوَ مَا اسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Yeah, this is the people of Ad. When they saw this, they said, oh yeah, rain is coming. Then Allah Jalla Ala said, no. In it there is what? Wind is coming, is bringing punishment to you. So the Prophet ﷺ used to go and come. And يتغير وجهه. His face becomes different. Because he's worried that this might be adab. يريكم البرق وات خوفا وطمعا. It might be عذاب out of fear, and it might bring what? خير, rain. And as the hadith says, فإذا أمطرت السماء سري عنه. When it rains, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم becomes what? Relaxed, because now there is no what? عذاب in it. There is what? خير in it. Yeah. That's why Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِ يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقِ. طيب, the lightning, خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Out of fear, out of hope. Then, of course, if it is out of hope, وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَيُحْيِي بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. And he brings down from the heavens, rain. Now, وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. السَّمَاءِ, in the Qur'an, السَّمَاءِ refers to what? Two things. عُلُو, highness. Yeah? And in Arabic language, anything above you is what? Is سَمَاءِ. If anything that is high above you is why? Is what? السَّمَاءِ. طيب. And in the Quran as well, as-sama refers to a ceiling of the entire universe. When Allah Jalla wa Ala says, طيب, normally when Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ, when Allah Jalla wa Ala says السماوات, for example, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ, السماوات, it means that he is referring to what? Layer after another layer after another layer. Seven different layers above each other. So when Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِ يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, okay, he is sending from the what? What is above you, the height, which is what? The clouds. Okay? مَاءَ فَيُحْيِي بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا, and this earth, rain comes on the dead land. Dead land. And this dead land becomes what? Becomes alive after what? After the rain, because of the rain. And that's why Allah Jalla wa Ala says what in وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. The ma gives haya to things that are what? Dead. طيب. And subhanallah, brothers. Yeah. يعني, among the miracles of Allah. They said that some places in the Sahara or in the Sahara Desert or in Argentina, they said for 40 years, they did not see what? Rain. No rain. Okay. But they said, if any rain comes down, plants will start to come out. طيب. How come for 40 years, forget about 40 years, 1 year, and the sun is so hot, and it is just complete sand, golden sand, yeah? And then all of a sudden, plants come out. Yeah? How? Where did they come from? Now, whatever explanation, they say that there are what some seeds that have been left for. Okay, how long the seeds will remain alive? Yeah? And even, okay, if we bring a sample of this sand to find out whether there are seeds of plants, we don't see them. Yeah, even using microscopes, whatever. But Allah Jalla wa Ala is giving us example that He is the one who created يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ, as we said. He created something living out of something that is completely dead. If Allah Jalla wa Ala has that power, He is Al-Khaliq, Allah Jalla wa Ala can regenerate us. Allah Jalla wa Ala can create us. And that's why Allah Jalla wa Ala used this example as an example of what? طيب, as He will tell us now. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He is the one who originates the khalq, the creation, from nothing. And He is the one who re-create the khalq from nothing as well. Yeah? And this is for Him, Jalla wa Ala, is very easy. Very easy. He will never put an effort to create things, Jalla wa Ala. Brothers, this is once we talk about this. When Allah Jalla wa Ala is mentioning those verses for us, Allah Jalla wa Ala is not mentioning them so, we can look at it and look how powerful the ayah is, and really it is fantastic. And then you imagine the images, etc., and you become fascinated by this visionary, power of the Quran and these visions, etc. And that's it. No, this is in order to what? In order to glorify Allah. In order to love Allah more. In order to have the awe of Allah Jalla Ala more. And moreover, whenever we move around on this earth, we look at those signs. Remember what I told you, when the person comes into a room and he's looking for certain signs, he will find them. So whenever we travel on this earth, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Travel. Look at what happened to people before you. Travel. Think about the creation of Allah جل وعلا. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Think about the creation of Allah جل وعلا. So Allah جل وعلا saying that He is the one who is sending rain and He is giving life to this earth because of that rain. Yes? فَيُحْيِي بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. After it was dead. As we said, it is desert. Yeah? Desert. And when rains come, subhanAllah, it becomes a green land. With life in it. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. Yeah? Indeed, there are signs for the people. There are signs for the people who think. By the way, I forgot to say that some people say that these plants that come, it is coming from the bacteria. Yeah, from the bacteria. Anyway, they can't say anything. But the issue is, this bacteria, was it alive or was it dead? Yeah, bacteria. Yeah, I don't know if that is true or not. I'm not any expert in this. Was it alive or dead? Yeah, you can't say that it was alive for all these years, or at least the best you can say that it is dead, but it can be a living being. Yeah, it can have life again. Okay, indeed there are signs for those people who think. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala says in a very powerful ayah, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَن تَقُومَ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ بِأَمْرِهِ ثُمَّ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ دَعْوَةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ تَخْرُجُونَ. Followed by another ayah, وَلَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتٌ. Subhanallah. Wa min ayati, and among the signs of Allah Jalla wa Ala, that the heavens and earth, they are standing or they stand because of Him, because of His commandments. What does that mean? It means that without the commandments of Allah Jalla wa Ala, the heavens will not be as stable as it is. The earth will not be as stable as it is. The heavens will not do its function as it is doing. The earth will not do its function as it is doing. Yeah? So Allah Jalla wa Ala is keeping the heavens and the earth in order. And without His order, they will, what? They will be corrupted, there will be facade, there will be major global catastrophes. And when people, subhanallah, when there are like calamities, catastrophes, like the tsunami and other, as they say, natural disasters like this, and they say, people say, especially those who do not submit to Allah Jalla wa Ala, whether they are believers in Allah, so-called believers in Allah, or whether they are atheists or whatever, they say that if Allah is the one who controls everything, why these catastrophes took place? Yeah? Have they gone out of the order of Allah Jalla wa Ala? And what is the wisdom behind it? I'm not talking about, يعني, the as they say, innocent people who will die, etc. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about the order of the heavens and earth. Yeah? Allah wants to show us some small examples if things were not kept on in order. Allah wants us to see some just minute examples of what may happen if the heavens and earth are not in order. Yeah? And we have seen the tsunami, for example, or volcanoes or earthquakes, and what damage they can cause. Why Allah Jalla wa'ala is showing us this? Because Allah Jalla wa'ala wants us to reflect. And when Allah Jalla wa'ala says that if He will change the whole earth, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ, on the day of resurrection, then this what may happen to you on the day of resurrection. So be careful. Be careful. Yeah? طبعاً the disbeliever, out of arrogance, as we will see, بَلِ اتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. Yeah? بَلِ اتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. The ظالمين, the kuffar, they are not following ideological concepts, and that because of those ideological or rational views, they disbelieved in Allah Jalla wa'ala. Allah Jalla wa'ala is saying, no, they are following their desires. They are following their desires. That's why they became zalimin, they became kafirin. Yeah? And we will come to that. Subhanallah, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ مَثَلُ نُخَامَةِ الزَّرْعِ وَمَثَلُ الْكَافِرِ مِثْلُ الْأَرْزَةِ لَا يَكْفَأُهَا الرِّيحِ. The disbeliever, he is what? Arrogant. Yeah? He will see all these signs around him or around her. He'll say, no, those signs is just the nature, the catastrophic, natural catastrophe or disaster. Okay, who put them in order again? It is again nature. Okay, who controls nature? Yeah, it is nature. So nature controls nature. So there is something to control nature. Is that true or not? Yeah, there is something to control nature. This thing that controls nature, why you refuse to call him God? You call it the nature itself. You prefer to consider the nature as your God rather than considering what? That there is a God. You understand? Yani they say nature. So nature, what is nature? What is nature? Okay? What is nature? Nature, is it the dead things that is happening? Are you following? Dead things. Okay, if you ask him, what do you mean by nature? Is it the rocks? Is it part of the nature? Yes. Okay. Air is part of the nature. But this dynamic, who controls the dynamic? Nature. Uh-huh. So you mean that there is nature in your mind is like a superpower that is different from the physical dead substances in front of us. Do you understand? So as if there is what? A mind controlling what is happening to us, and that mind, that power is what? Nature. Excellent. So you approve that there is what? There is something to control the what? The physical dead or the non-living beings around us. You approve that there is something to control them called nature. And this is the power of nature. Okay, excellent. So why do you negate to call that power that controls the nature as what? As the creator. But because of arrogance, they don't want to submit to Allah Jalla Ala. That's why We will come to the ayah, طيب, that بل اتبع الذين ظلموا أهواءهم. Now, when my dear brothers, when Allah Jalla wa Ala is mentioning these things, Allah Jalla wa Ala is not using an intellectual argument to prove his existence. Is it clear? Is not an intellectual debate to prove his existence. No. Allah Jalla wa Ala is using this as a reminder for us. Ya'ni, we believe in it. We already believe in it. But he is saying that, look, 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 look. Just look. Yeah? Just think. Just ponder. That's why, يعقلون, يسمعون, yeah? يعلمون. Those different endings. Those who think. Those who reflect. Those who have aql. Yeah? It's not only an intellectual, rational debate. Because Allah created us believing in Him. And it is only sufficient for a normal human being who has no arrogance to look at these things. And then he will say, wow. Wow. Subhanallah. 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 To reflect upon this and to remember Allah Jalla wa Ala. And that's why, subhanallah, some of the scholars said that one of the meanings of the Quran that it is dhikr is what? A reminder. So the Quran is what? According to this, is a reminder of what we already, as a human beings, not as Muslims, as a human beings, believe in it. We already, as a human beings, not as Muslims, we were created believing in Allah Jalla wa Ala, and the Quran is just saying, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Yeah, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. So remember those, look at them, look at them, look at them, to remember Allah. So this is a reminder for you of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Okay? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ تَقُومَ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ بِأَمْرِهِ. The earth and heavens are established because of His commandments. Or according to the other meaning, which is very close to this, are ready for His commandments. Whenever He says something, they will do it. طيب, in the other ayah, قَالَ أَتِيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. Allah commanded them, you will come to the heavens and earth. Either you will come in obedience, طوعًا, or karha, by force. You come, they say, no. No, Ya Allah, we came in full obedience to you. قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. So the heavens and earth, subhanallah, are ready and willing just to, they are ready, not willing. They are submissive to Allah Jalla wa Ala. They are submitting to Allah Jalla wa Ala. If this is the case, with what? The heavens and earth. Then you human beings, what's wrong with you? That you don't listen. Yeah? You have full of arrogance. You say no. The heavens. Yeah? The heavens and the earth, which means everything. They are what? They are established because of Allah. Then you human beings, come on, you are nothing. Yeah, you are nothing. You just be arrogant. You harm no one but yourself. You are just deceiving yourself. Okay? And subhanallah, out of the rahmah of Allah Jalla wa Ala is telling us, just wake up, wake up, wake up. Look, look around you. This heaven, yes, above you, or the heavens and the earth, look at it, the entire of it. Yeah? They are submitting to Allah Jalla wa Ala, and you say no. Subhanallah. Who are you to say no? طيب. That's why Allah Jalla wa Ala says, ثُمَّ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ دَعْوَةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. When He calls you on the day of resurrection. When you die, إِذَا أَنْتُمْ تَخْرُجُونَ. All of you will come. Just by saying kun. Just by blowing in the trumpet, all of you will be resurrected. So Allah Jalla Ala is indirectly addressing what? Addressing human beings. Don't be arrogant. You are who? You are talking to Allah, the Lord of everything. Everything is submitting to Him. That's why Allah Jalla Ala mentioned the other ayah. وَلَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. Yeah? To Him and to Him only belongs to whatever in the heavens and earth. وَلَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلٌّ لَهُ. What? All of them are what? Humbling themselves. Submitting to Him, جَلَّ وَعَلَى. And as Ibn Abbas said, that whenever قَانِتُ mentioned in this context means what? طائعون. They are submitting, obedient to Allah Jalla Ala. They have no choice but to submit to Allah Jalla Ala. Now, when Allah Jalla Ala says, وَلَهُ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلٌّ. See, this is ta'keed. وَلَهُ is the first one. Okay, to Him belongs everything on the heavens and earth. And then Allah Jalla Ala says, كُلٌّ. All of them are submitting in obedience to Him. What about the atheists? What about the atheists? Yeah, they are not submitting to Allah. They don't believe in Allah. Subhanallah. They are just fooling themselves. They are fooling themselves. Internally, they are submitting to Allah Jalla Ala. Internally, they believe in Allah Jalla Ala. Yeah? Internally, they believe in Allah Jalla Ala. Their hearts internally are submitting to Allah Jalla Ala, but they don't want to submit externally to Him. Out of what? وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا. Look what the Quran says. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا. They denied it. وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. Internally they knew it. They knew the haqq. ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. Because of arrogance and because of ظُلْم and oppression. Yeah? So Allah Jalla Ala says, listen, وَلَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. And that's why, my dear brothers, we'll stop here. My dear brothers and sisters, when the person reads Quran and he reflects upon those verses especially, you know, as we said, we made the Quran as a book of what? Talking about, yani, values, humanitarian values and these things. Yeah, that's why the Quran does not fill our hearts with iman. That's why the first people to leave Islam are those who are what? Who are reading Quran to take from Quran those humanitarian values. Because their hearts are not full of what? Of the glorification of Allah and submission to Allah Jalla wa Ala. Yes? Once the person reads Quran and he says, he reads an ayah like this, he will say, well, I don't care about anything. I care about Him, Jalla wa Ala, only. And when anything happens to him, as it was reported, yeah, as it was reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِن لَمْ يَكُمْ بِكَ غَضَبٌ عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي. If you are not angry with me, I don't care. I care only about what? One thing. Are you pleased with me or not? This is my main worry. And subhanallah, my dear brothers and sisters. Wallahi. If the person is worried about Allah and Allah only, yes, Allah Jalla wa Ala will make the entire world submitting to Him. Yes? Allah Jalla wa Ala will what? Why the entire world will submit to Him? Not submit to Him means, hey, He will be the king of everything physically. No, He will be the king of everything spiritually, because He sees the creation as nothing beside Allah Jalla wa Ala. And whenever happens anything to Him, He doesn't care. All of this is nothing, because I care about Him and He is thinking of Him. Jalla wa Ala. That's why they said the real believers, the one who is connected with the Malik, the king of all kings, he will be the king on earth. Yeah? Because this person, no one can subjugate him because he doesn't care about human beings. He doesn't care about creation. He cares about what? About Allah Jalla wa'ala. Yeah? And subhanAllah, as we all always say, that this is the real empowerment. Look, when the person is empowered like this, he sees not out of arrogance for human beings. No. We are not talking about arrogance on human beings. No, he is not that worried about human beings, about creation, about materialistic life, about the dunya. He doesn't care about it. It is just nothing for him. Yeah, it is like a real king. A real king will not be worried about things that he loses. Yeah, he is a king. He's bigger than all of this. Yeah, the person he is connected to Allah Jalla wa Ala, he will deal with the dunya from this perspective. He has been what? Empowered by Allah Jalla wa Ala. That's why when he's afflicted by musiba, he submits to Allah Jalla wa Ala. He remembers Allah Jalla wa Ala. He will feel what? Internal satisfaction, internal happiness. Now this feeling, my dear brothers and sisters, we have to say that it goes up and down. And the person has to make mujahada, jihad against himself in order to keep it up as much as he can. And my dear brothers and sisters, this is what? The Jannah of the dunya. This is the Jannah of the dunya. Yeah? When does the person enter the Jannah of the dunya? When he believes that he is the king. Yeah? He has the power. What kind of power? That nothing is equal anything beside Allah Jalla wa Ala. And this is the real empowerment of Tawheed. We ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to make us among those who love him and among those who submit to him and those who are empowered by his majesty Jalla wa Ala wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.